Welcome to CADcast. I'm your host, Nit Sweeney, and what I'm going to be talking about this week is a little bit of a continuation from a few episodes ago. I talked with Brandon Elms a little bit about large assembly performance and working with larger files inside of SolidWorks. And the big takeaway from Brandon was that we have to think about our expectations. Like, if we're really thinking that a 10,000 part assembly should be opening in 9 seconds, maybe recalibrate what you're expecting from your software, because you're not going to open up a 10,000 page Word document instantly. But that's not necessarily the most satisfying answer. Well, you know, large assemblies, they're going to be slow. So this week, what I'm going to be doing is talking with James Reher on our SolidWorks team, and he's going to be talking with me about not just our expectations, but really what can we do to help our performance. Some of it's going to be hardware-based, so there's a really great Linus Tech Tips video all about SolidWorks hardware, so we talk a little bit about that. And we're going to dive into things like RAM and CPU and the graphics and what all of that means for your SolidWorks. So with that, we're going to jump into my conversation with James, where we're going to talk all about SolidWorks performance and what we can do. Joining me this week is newly promoted Senior Application Engineer James Reher, and we're going to talk more about working with large assemblies and how you can kind of optimize your performance with SolidWorks. I promised this a while back when Brandon Elms and I were talking. So now we're actually getting to, I guess, the second part of the conversation. So James, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, I want to talk about Italian foods because we've been talking about that for like 3 days, and I want to talk about video games. But I have to start with my first question before we get into any of the other topics. James, as I ask all of my guests, what was your first version of SolidWorks that you remember using?
Believe it was 2007.
Okay.
So I took a class in college. So I took it pretty early on, and that's when I was first introduced to SolidWorks, and I've been using it ever since. So we're going on about 15 years now.
Yeah. Have you always been, as far as CAD tools go, a SolidWorks guy, or have you dabbled in some of the other tools as well?
I've used a few other things and was not very happy with a lot of the other ones. So not that they're bad, just they're different. Mm-hmm. And I just found that a lot of times, like certain things like interface, like I wasn't as much of a fan of. One of the ones, it was more of a direct modeling tool, so it wasn't exactly per se like a normal CAD, like 3D CAD program. I won't name it, but
yeah. You're very polite.
Yeah, but it was very difficult working with assemblies in it, because you couldn't just mate things together. Mm. And so we actually had to, you basically would end up putting a lot of reference geometry, so like essentially reference sketches and whatnot, just so you could then have placement for where the components should be. And then you would actually, you know, make your extrusions or revolves or what have you, and build everything up that way. But it honestly made it much more difficult to use, because I couldn't just put things together basically like I would in the real world, right? Mm. Like, oh, I want this to be concentric to this and this surface to be in contact and touch and coincident to this face. And you couldn't do any of that. So it just made it much more difficult.
The things you were doing weren't necessarily manufacturing based. It was more of, you had to make the software work to make it look like the way you wanted it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, we did end up using those files we'd had to get the components manufactured. It was actually for a robot.
Ooh.
But it just made it much more difficult, much more, like it just took a lot longer to build the same thing. In fact, I was so frustrated with it that, there was a few times where I went and made it in SolidWorks because I was still at school. So this is when I was an intern. So I just went and made it in SolidWorks and then, made a step file or whatever and imported it, because I could do it in a much more timely fashion.
Like, oh yeah, look at this great thing that I made, not in this tool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I'd use that or have it at least as like a basis that I could use inside the other software and just make it easier.
Mm. So, as we've been kind of leading up to this podcast, since we started talking about it, hobbies have been something that we've discussed outside of like the topic of work, because who can talk about work for 8 hours a day? Not me. I like distractions. And two of those hobbies that have come up, or two of those interests, I don't know how we can talk about Italian food. So I would mention, if you guys have James come on site and you talk with him, ask him about Italian food, ask him about he's sharing the screen with me right now. He's got like a 10 gelato scoop ice cream cone in his hand, and the look on his face is one of, I don't know how I'm going to eat it. James, for the public, you've already told me this answer. Did you eat the whole thing?
I did eat the whole thing.
Did you regret it?
It was delicious. No, not at all.
Good.
I didn't even feel sick afterwards. It was awesome.
Because it's Italian food. It's gelato. So I don't know how we can weave this into the podcast. So I guess we're going to have to leave Italian food for another podcast. But the one topic that I think that we can definitely wrap this interest into what we're going to be talking about today is video games. Because you are absolutely an avid gamer, especially since the start of the pandemic. And since we kind of all got locked away, you've got back into video games and you've got quite a collection of gaming consoles too, right?
I do. Yes. Starting with my very first one that I got when I was very young. I have a regular Nintendo, so an NES system. I think we got that back in like 1986, 1987, and had almost every Nintendo system after that. I think I'm only missing one.
What was your, I think you said it was Tetris. That was your first game you ever had for the NES, right?
That was for the Game Boy.
That was a great,
I mean, still a great game. Oh, yeah. I still think the Game Boy version possibly better than the NES version, but the NES version's also good. I mean, like that, and I'd say for everyone, probably Super Mario Brothers. That original Super Mario Brothers game, that was the game.
I mean,
and we all obsessed over it.
I mean, you can ask my dad because he knows this full well. Pokemon has always been my game. Kit and I talked about Pokemon on a podcast not that long ago. And if I wasn't worried about our boss getting upset that all we did on the podcast was talk about Pokemon, we would have kept going on that. But that was my favorite. But what I thought was really interesting talking with you about the video games was just like the transformation of them and the evolution of, we went from, what was Game Boy was like 8-bit or something like that. And
yeah, it was really low power, still had essentially a monocolor screen.
But the Game Boy Color was this huge revolution when we got that.
Yeah, exactly. And even just the graphical power between all the systems, that's been huge. I mean, I remember how big of a deal it was going from regular Nintendo to Super Nintendo. You know, you went from an 8-bit system to a 16-bit system. And then, you know, progressively, they all just seem to keep doubling to, 32 or 64. And you look at, the more modern systems, like we were talking about the other day, you're looking at the PS5 and Xbox Series X. I mean, those are essentially mid-tier gaming PCs.
They look like them sometimes, too.
I mean, they're huge, but $500,
sure.
So like price to performance is amazing. But, with a lot of things, like, I don't know, like you look at gaming, you look at that, right? Like where we've come from then to now. And, the same thing can be said about where we're at with CAD these days.
For sure.
Like what they were doing originally with CAD, if you go back to say like the 80s, and you had purpose built computers just to do the CAD, right? Mm. And then you look at what SOLIDWORKS really brought to the table, being in the 90s, it was able to work on Windows, where all the other ones, they weren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were purpose-built systems that had the CAD software on it, right? So it wasn't just like, oh, I have Windows, which most people had, personal computers in the 90s, and you could install CAD software. And, that's a huge change, like, technologically for everyone, like, that's a big upheaval in the industry. And then you add to it like all the hardware changes that thankfully have happened since then. And, it's amazing. But with that comes large assemblies, right?
Yeah. And large assemblies, I swear, were the bane of my existence was up when I was on support, because the number one question I got, and I think that support would probably agree with this, my assembly's slow. Why is it so slow for me to open this? Okay, talk to me about your parts. And Brandon and I talked about a while back, setting the proper expectations and like, hey, I'm opening this 3,000 part assembly and it's not opening in 5 seconds. Why is that? Because it's a 3,000 part assembly. You're opening a lot of data. I'm sorry, unless you are Battelle, which is like down the road from me, you're not going to open that very fast because there are restrictions to what you can do. But
yeah,
you can optimize it.
Unf- Yes, absolutely. Things can, without a doubt, be optimized. You know, I'd say the one big hurdle that, and it's been around for a while now, is the actual speed of the processor itself, right? So we're basically at a limit right now. Like, there is like an actual like ceiling, if you will. Most things aren't going to be breaking, say, like 5.3 to 5.4 gigahertz in speed. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why that's important is, you know, if we're talking about large assemblies, and even just like SOLIDWORKS in general, is the majority of tasks are not actually multi-threaded. So having 16 cores doesn't necessarily help you with a lot of those tasks, because they're single-threaded tasks, and they have to be, just with how everything's set up currently. And, you know, say you take your design tree, right? You have your design tree, you have all your components in your design tree, and each one of those components has its own design tree, right? So you have all your features that are in that design tree. Well, you know, there is a bit of history when it comes to those design trees. And so because there's history and the way the tasks have been set up, like, it's a single threaded process. So like, in order to rebuild that design tree, it's essentially a single threaded process. And so then you have all those components and they have to be rebuilt. Right. And so all of a sudden now it's going to start taking a lot longer to be able to actually process all that data.
And that's
just where we're at.
And I have a lot of customers, like, they send me machine specs and they say, hey, how's this going to work? And it's like, I've got an 8-core processor. Is this going to help me? No, not really. Simulation, I think, can take advantage of two, and there are a couple others that you can kind of work with, and you get a little bit more out of it. But SOLIDWORKS is not one of those tools where the more processors you have, the better. It's not a multi-core process. It's not a multi-core application. So
yeah, the majority of things are not going to be multi-core. But there is one other aspect of that I want to bring up that I think often gets overlooked. Actually, let me skim my document to fully jog my memory. It's the instructions per second. So like, we have our clock speed that we just talked about. So that's, you know, that general like gigahertz rating that you see for all the CPU processors these days. But another thing that's important is actually what's called the instructions per second. And so that's where we can actually look at, say, two chips that are identical, but from different generations, right? So like, say like an Intel chip that's 10th generation versus an 11th generation. They're both i7s. Maybe they both run at 2.7 gigahertz and then boost to, you know, 4.5 gigahertz or what have you. But there's this other calculation that's involved in the architecture of those processors, and that's the instructions per second. And so essentially that number for the instructions per second is going to be different than on the new one versus the old one. And so that's how you can actually end up with two chips that, you know, say, don't have the same base speed. Your new chip may run a little bit slower, maybe 2.4 gigahertz, but it still overall can do more calculations because it has a much higher instruction per second rating. And so that having that information available to you will let you better decide what CPU processor you want to buy. You know, so generally speaking, if the newer generation chips almost always have a higher instruction per second. So you're still going to get a benefit by going with the newer generation chip.
But bigger is not always better. And you sent me this, and I don't mean from the instructions per second, but like, I'm going to get the newest, biggest, best graphics and CPU I can possibly afford. That's not always going to be the case. You sent me, when we were talking about this a while back, a Linus Tech Tips video. And I'm going to put the link to this in the description of the podcast, because it's like a 10 and a half minute video where they walk through building a great SOLIDWORKS machine. And if you just want to understand, you know, what can I do to optimize my performance, and you want to see graphics, go look at that, because this podcast, it's a podcast. James and I are not going to be visual here. We will to each other, but you guys won't be able to see us. So definitely go check out that video. But James, one of the things I thought was most interesting about the whole thing was, you know, we're talking about these high-end gaming cards. My brother is a huge gamer and he loves his RTX graphics cards. And I've had customers ask me, like, what if I got one of those RTX cards for my SOLIDWORKS? It's not going to help you much. Not in all likelihood.
Yeah. No, not if you're getting the gaming one. And that's the reason why Like, and I'm sure people get sick of hearing it, but, you know, they'll run into some issue. Like, maybe it's, you know, a lot of times it's some sort of graphical issue, and they call into tech support, right? And they're like, hey, I'm having this weird, you know, graphical anomaly happen. Like, you know, I don't really understand. And we go dig into the machine and we're like, I see a GeForce control panel. And they're like, yeah, I have a gaming card. And you're like, oh boy, you know, and
swinging
so the thing is, those the gaming cards they're not designed the same way exactly. Like, these days, a lot of the architecture is definitely more similar. You know, like with those RTX, like there's like the RTX GeForce cards, which is the gaming series, and then you have your actual professional series. And it used to be called Quadro, so a lot of people are probably familiar with that who are listening. They did away with the Quadro naming system, so that naming convention's no longer around. It's just called RTX, which in some ways may make this even more confusing for people when they're going to buy the card, because they're like, well, I'm buying an RTX card. It's like, well, are you buying a GeForce RTX card? Or are you buying the professional series RTX card? Because the professional series, they did make one change to it. So now in front of the RTX cards, it generally says something like A. So it might say like A4000, A6000. There are a couple other professional series that are supposed to be on that same architecture. I believe it's the T series, if I'm remembering correctly. But those are, they're different, and they're set up different. They actually technically have a slightly slower clock speed generally, but the thermals are much better on the professional series cards. And they've been designed that way on purpose because they're designed to get hit with a high load for extended periods of time without a failure. Now, a gaming card, it's not necessarily looking to do the exact same types of things, right? Like, it's for gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, generally people they're not going to run something that is going to hit that thing for 24 hours straight, right? Like, people are going to game, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, maybe 4 hours or whatever. And so it's not really designed the exact same way. The other thing is, and this is the most important one, is the drivers for those cards plays a huge difference. And you brought up that video from Linus, right? That study that they did. And if you guys go out and look at it, you'll notice that the lowest professional series card that they had on that test blew almost every single gaming card out of the water. And it's not that expensive, especially, not comparatively, like, they're not that much more expensive. And especially now, since prices are finally starting to kind of come back down.
Fingers crossed it stays this way.
When it comes to the, let's hope. But like, you get for bang for your buck, the professional series card, even the entry level card, is going to make a huge difference for most people.
I think it was like the P1000,
you're gonna end up recouping.
If I remember right.
Yep. Yep, it was a P1000. So that was the architecture before they went to the RTX series.
Right.
So
yeah, so that video is 5 years old or something like that. But the principles still apply because the drivers are different. I think you've said at this point. If not, I'm confusing our conversations. But the drivers between them, like, it's not the same drivers for the professional cards as it is the gaming cards. So having those drivers be built in a way that, like, if I'm gonna run a simulation, it might take 2 days.
Yep.
My gaming cards, for as much as my brother games, he does not game for 48 hours in a row. He doesn't game for six because it's at some point you need a break. Computers don't need a break though when they're doing simulation on entire structures.
Yes, and I mean, the other thing is, with a gaming card, if a calculation accidentally gets screwed up, it's not a big deal.
It's a glitch.
Because all that happens, it's a glitch that you visually see during your game, but it's not a big deal generally, right? And it's not really affecting anything other than the way it looks for you on screen. And it's, you know, it's there for, you know, just a split second.
Well, when the Call of Duty hackers exploit those and kill me while I'm on a nice long kill streak, I would argue it's not a big deal, but I hear your point.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to rage quit on our CAD software. So, but the difference is I need it to be stable when I'm doing professional work, right? So if I'm doing, say, a render for a film, or I'm, you know, doing some sort of simulation, whether it be FEA or flow simulation or what have you, I can't have an actual issue with those calculations because that is literally going to throw a result. Okay. And like, if we're talking FEA, that might be giving me an artificial singularity or something. And like, we can't have that, right? Like, because
if you made something unsafe, if you're designing a bridge.
Exactly. Exactly. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to cut corners to save like $200. That could cost, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, or even, you know, somebody's life, right? Like, you know, like a couple $100 is a small price to pay to have, make sure that you have a stable system, mm-hmm. and you're not running into those things. So, but yeah, like there are underlying fundamental differences architecture wise and driver wise between those two different cards. So it's important to, you know, get the right hardware, follow the guidelines. And like, there's just some other things kind of tied to that as well. I don't understand why it happens so often. How often I actually see it. I'm always surprised at how often I see gaming cards getting used for things. So,
well, I think, so this is the situation for a lot of students that I've talked to, like they've got a gaming computer and, oh, you've got to now install SOLIDWORKS so you can do your engineering homework. Okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the simple extrusions. I think the most complex model I ever made was like 7 components in an assembly. It was not hard at Ohio State with what I had to design for my intro engineering course. Mm-hmm. You can be on your onboard graphics. You're probably going to be mostly okay. And then I would assume a lot of people just say, oh, well, this worked for me back in school, so I can use this going forward. And now they're working with 70 or 700 components in their large assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to see those anomalies that were really, really minute. Suddenly those are happening 100 times more often.
More frequently. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's, even if you just play the statistical game, your likelihood's going to go up, right? You're dealing with more things. And because those drivers aren't, like the gaming cards, you know, they just aren't made for the same amount of stability that the professional drivers are.
Makes sense.
And it makes sense. And then the other thing with that is just like, they're not, like, since they're not supported, NVIDIA is not going to try and fix that issue for you.
And neither will SOLIDWORKS.
Which is a huge thing. So, yeah. Well, and like, because SOLIDWORKS is relying on NVIDIA and AMD, you know, right. I don't want to leave AMD out, because AMD has been doing, they've also been doing a great job of trying to, you know, work more in the professional area, make sure they're providing people with good drivers. But like that is a big thing where it's like, if I am using a computer with a gaming card, and for whatever reason, I'm working in the software and then it crashes when I go to do this one thing, and it does it at the same point every time I go to do it. Well, if I contact SOLIDWORKS or NVIDIA, they're, as soon as they see what hardware I have, they're just going to be like, sorry, it's not supported. And like, that's it. Like, you're going to have to figure out another way to work around it.
And that's what we mean when we talk about, like, it's not supported. Like, I've had people ask me, oh, if it's not supported, does that mean you won't help us? No, I mean, we will do everything that we can to make sure that you can do everything. But if it comes down to it's your hardware, man, or if it's something you've got installed and it's not supported, we can't escalate it. There's nothing we can do to say, hey, SOLIDWORKS, hey, AMD, hey, NVIDIA, fix this bug. They'll say, no, that's not. It's not certified to work that way. So sorry, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of that just has to do with, you know, they have different departments handling those different things. So it's like, if you have a GeForce card, the GeForce team is worried about X, Y, and Z, right? Like,
it's not their priority.
They're probably more worried about making sure their driver works for the new Warzone 2 coming out than they are about SOLIDWORKS, because guess what? Warzone 2 is probably going to have like 150,000 concurrent users at any given point. You know, and they may care more about that than, guess what? There's 2 kids in college that keep having the same issue when it comes to the SOLIDWORKS. And like, the priority list is just going to be different. Right. So, you know, it's just kind of how you have to separate those things out. I mean, there's not much you can do at that point. So
long story short, get a supported graphics card. And if you're curious, like, what can you do? There's actually a lot you can do. And, you know, if you go on the SOLIDWORKS recommendations, I think it says Intel or AMD or NVIDIA for your graphics card. And that's about all it really says. The Linus Tech Tips video does a great job with that, but try to get a professional series card if you can. Other things that I know Linus said that really stuck out to me, like using an SSD, it's going to make a big difference, especially when it comes to large assemblies, because it's how quickly can you load these files up? It's not necessarily going to work, like if you're on small components, small assemblies, you might not notice it as much, but it's going to compound. Like there are a lot of little things you can do to improve this performance from a hardware perspective, especially.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having an SSD or a NVMe drive, I mean, it's gonna be a huge performance improvement if you're still using a spinning disk drive. The other thing I was just thinking about that I wanted to bring up is, so when we're talking about, the drivers, like the gaming drivers versus the professional series drivers, it's like what I have personally found, and we actually kind of talked about this the other day, is my software has been working fine for months. And then all of a sudden I start having some weird issue, right? Like I go to do something and it'll randomly close the file or something like that. And what's funny is I've noticed this happen a lot more over the last couple of years is, and I feel like it was when Windows 10 came out, I could be wrong, but
I see where you're going with this.
I just have found that I have a lot, when I start having issues with the software, a lot of times it's not actually SolidWorks.
No.
It's I'll notice that I've had a Windows update and all of a sudden I start having an issue. And so what I've also noticed with that as I started seeing it more often is, Windows 10 has automatic updates. It'll update something. Sometimes I won't even catch it for a day or two because it did it and then just restarted my system. But if I notice I'm starting to have some weird issue in SolidWorks, I'll go out and I'll check the NVIDIA website, because inevitably what I've found is if there's a Windows update, so essentially a Microsoft update, and they've changed something and they pushed out an update, usually NVIDIA and AMD will see a new driver get pushed out almost immediately after that other update. When I run that update for my graphics card driver, all of a sudden all is well. So I have noticed a trend over the last 2-3 years where a lot of times if I start to see an issue, it's usually because I've had a Windows update and then I need to update the graphics card driver following. So a lot of that's going to be dependent on your company and your IT and how they control things and push things out. Because they can still control which updates do get pushed out usually. So if they've pushed out, just be aware that if they've pushed out an update for on the Windows side of things, if you all of a sudden see that you've had some issue inside SolidWorks, I would immediately check to see what driver you're on for your GPU and check either NVIDIA or AMD's website for your hardware and see what driver they have listed. Because a lot of times if you just update to that newer driver, that'll usually solve the issue. And in the past, everybody always said go with the certified driver that's on the SolidWorks website. But even SolidWorks has admitted that, there's just so much hardware out there these days. Like they can't work through all of it and test everything and stay up with everything in a super timely fashion. So you may notice that the driver that's listed up there, it might be a year old, right? Mm. And it worked great for a while, but Windows or someone else changed something in somewhere in the a different portion of your operating system, and all of a sudden you have this issue. I would definitely recommend testing the newer driver to see if it goes away.
And unfortunately, sometimes the driver is not the final answer. I mentioned to you.
Oh, absolutely.
I mentioned to you this was probably 5-6 years ago. I guess it was very early Windows 10. The biggest support issue I think that has ever come up. Microsoft did an update to Windows. It broke quite literally at least half of everybody's machines. It flipped some switch in the registry, and we had to go registry hack it. And people would call in, and you'd know about 8 seconds in if it was this KB article. I wish I could remember what it was. But it would just be, we had a group chat going. There were like 7 of us on support, and it's like, oh, we got another one. And there were days of 40 cases, 25 of them would all be that KB. And finally, it started to slow down, and I haven't seen that in a while, but every once in a while, I'll still see people like, hey, this is the problem. I know exactly what's going on with your machine. So it is funny, like SolidWorks, as much as we like to blame the software that is right in front of us, it's not always that. I mean, maybe SolidWorks could be more stable somehow. I don't know. But Windows updates, keep your graphics card up to date. I told you right before we started recording, I blue screen constantly. And it's almost always right after a Windows update. It's pretty convenient. And then I asked our IT guy, and he says, go update your drivers, and then you'll be fine. But until I do that, I crash a lot. So check your drivers. It's going to be pretty important. And I know that
we're
ended up, I didn't think we'd go quite this long. And I know that we've got to wrap up soon-ish. So I know we want to talk about RAM. I know we want to talk about several other things. So James, I'm going to ask you this very pointed question. We can go one of two ways here. We can go how important is RAM and a little bit more on the hardware side of things, or we can talk about best practices for your SolidWorks users. So something that everybody can maybe start taking advantage of right now. And then maybe we can do a second episode at some point. But James, where do you want to go with our last couple of minutes that we got on our podcast this week?
I definitely think we should talk about just some settings that people can make some changes to, make some adjustments to. Some of them, what might be kind of surprising to people is some of them aren't even going to be in your system options. It's not even going to be that type of settings. Really? There's a lot of good stuff in there that's hugely, hugely beneficial. But there's actually some simple stuff that gets overlooked, and it'll sound funny, probably. Now, Nick can see what's on my screen, but your display settings. So if you look at your heads-up view toolbar at the top of your graphics window inside SolidWorks, so if you look there and you hover over your display settings, you're going to see you have a few different options. And something to know is even just switching those display settings will have an effect on what I like to call my graphical computational tax, or we can just call it the graphics tax if you want. But so most of the time, I would say that most of us usually have our shaded with edges turned on. That's usually the display setting that we have turned on. That's actually our most expensive tax when it comes to graphics. So the lightest weight is just our shaded option. And then more expensive than that is going to be having just the HLR, so our hidden lines removed, turned on. So that's going to be all those hard black edges that we like to see.
That's
so if you have it on HLR, so like it's just kind of funny. So like generating the shaded graphics portion, you know, what we mostly think of when we think of our 3D models themselves, that's actually the lightest weight when it comes to graphics. And then the lines themselves are actually heavier. And so then you got to think, well, then that makes sense now why when we have hidden lines, like shaded hidden lines shown, why that's so costly is because that's both of those things added together.
It's doing all those calculations behind the scenes saying, hey, this is where this hidden line should be in relation to where we are. I guess from like a taxing on the core, it's like, oh, we have to do more calculations versus if we've got shaded on, I'm not worried about what's behind it because I can't see that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that's just kind of interesting that, you know, I can immediately make a difference just by flipping that. So if I'm looking at a large assembly and, you know, hidden line shown is turned on, or, you know, shaded hidden line shown is turned on, that overlay. Well, if I just go ahead and immediately flip it over to shaded, you're going to see a performance improvement, like just immediately. Now that's just a real simple one. And this one is probably more like this, in my opinion, is more important, but changing your image quality settings is huge. So when you go into your system options, you know, you go over to document properties, go down to image quality, and then you see that slider bar up at the top. And that slider bar has a huge effect on the size of the file and how it appears. And I say the size of the file, but that there is a checkbox that you have to check for that, where it'll actually, you'll see for the part files themselves, it'll say save tessellation with part document. So if that's checked, what happens is whatever setting you have for the image quality on that slider bar, that's going to change the size of the file and the amount of data, because you're changing the number of graphics triangles that are being shown for that file. And so I have a PowerPoint that I like to show, and it has the same assembly with two different settings. And we go from having an assembly with about 46,000 triangles.
Sounds like a lot.
Which sounds like a lot, but it's actually not that bad, because the file size is actually only 4 meg. It's only 4 megabits.
Not bad.
No. But and that's having it set to low quality. If I crank it up and go all the way to the right, it goes from 46,000 triangles to over 18 million triangles. And the file size is now 104.
26 times bigger.
Yeah.
My goodness. And so, the thing I can see this on my screen, and realistically, I'm looking at it and saying, there's not a lot there from my perspective to say, oh my gosh, it looks terrible. Like, if you turn that slider all the way down, I think it's like a hexagon or an octagon. It looks terrible compared to the really fine, super good circle. But from a realistically, your computer knows what this is supposed to be anyway, so it's not like it's calculating it like it's a hexagon. Instead, it's still accurate, and it really doesn't even look that bad. So that slider, James, what's our recommendation? 25%, something like that?
25% or lower is generally what I recommend. That'll keep your file size way down. But you know, if you're especially in that like 15-25% range, it'll look fine. Like, circles don't look like hexagons. Circles look like circles. Yeah. And like, your file size is not going to be very big. So as long as you kind of stick around that range, I find that things, you know, they look good. I don't worry about what I'm selecting, right? Like, I'm clicking a circular edge, and I'm not worried that, like, oh, is this really a circle sort of thing? You know, you aren't guessing anything like that. But it is going to keep the file size down. And so, you know, just by doing that, the amount of calculations that have to be done for the system graphically, it's going to drop. And the good news is, if you're inside of an assembly file, your options for that are a little bit different, because there's actually a box that you can check, so you can apply it to all of the parts inside that file. So yeah, so you go ahead, you check that box, you're going to hit OK, and then you just do a rebuild, and it'll change. So you'll see the graphics triangle count go down, or at least you will if you're actually using some of the tools in SolidWorks to help you do that. So if you're actually using, say, like your performance evaluation tool or assembly visualization, you can actually watch the number go down.
So if you've got your assemblies open right now and you're saying, oh my gosh, this is so slow, couple things you can do. Make it shaded. Get rid of your hidden lines visible. You definitely don't want to do that, because that's more math. And decrease your number of triangles. You don't need all those triangles. Simulation does, but simulation will do that for you. So we're not too worried about it. This is mostly for your benefit anyway. Your computer knows what it's doing, so turn that down. You don't need to hit your graphics that hard. Your performance tax. Just like we would all like to reduce our overall taxes on money, let's reduce it on our computer too. Let's make it so that it's not going to struggle so bad.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, those are just some simple things.
We could go for another hour on this easy.
We could definitely do a lot more. There's a ton when it comes to settings, and just kind of like variations on that. And I think maybe we'll save that for another one.
We'll definitely follow up on this.
Those two things are just like, they're so simple. They're so simple, and they're just hugely beneficial. So I like to make sure everybody knows that, hey, you know, here's a real quick one. Go in here. Change, adjust that setting. And a lot of times what'll happen is you'll just find, you know, if you actually use like your assembly visualization and look at, you know, what parts have the highest graphical triangle count, and that will right away just show you, oh, somebody changed, you know, there's two parts in this entire assembly that were cranked up. And so those two things are actually causing like a long rebuild time or whatever. You totally see stuff like that where I've looked at files before where I'm looking at something and it'll be like 45 second rebuild time for one part. And then I'll just go look, dig into it. And I'm like, oh, we only need to make two changes. We need to adjust this image quality setting and, you know, make like one other adjustment. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, this part's 3 seconds now.
It's the small differences. It really is. And having the proper expectations as well as optimizing your performance is going to be you're going to be happy if you do it. And if you optimize your hardware, and James, we'll definitely follow up. We'll do more conversations on this because your presentation's like 80 some odd slides. And I think we got through five. So we've got a lot more we can talk about.
Yeah, only a few.
but I'm going to let you go because I know that I promised only about 30 minutes. I think we're almost to 40. So thank you so much for joining me this week. I really appreciate it. And I hope our users got a lot out of this because I certainly learned a lot about hardware and performance that I did not know. I was not aware that the professional series versus the gaming series, I didn't realize what the problem was. Now I think I have a better idea. So thank you for teaching me and thank you for teaching all of us. I'm sure we all very much appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Look forward to the next
one. For sure. All right, everybody. That was James Reher, our newly promoted senior application engineer with Computer-Aided Technology. Thank you all for joining us this week. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. But that's all I got for this week. So I'll talk to you guys later. See ya.